Good morning, once again. A couple of things for the young kids. We have, I'd say, 11 and under, 6th grade on down. We have a kids' bulletin that we do every week, and they're on the back wall there if you haven't gotten one yet. On the back are the sermon notes, and you guys can fill those in. And if you fill those in and come up after me afterwards, I'll give you a little something for doing that. We do that because for a number of reasons. First of all, we want families to worship together. And so we want to have the kids to have something to do during the service. And so if you have grandkids or things, you know, or young people who come with you, visit, or whoever, we don't want you to feel like there's nothing for them. And so that there's also a couple of coloring pages on there, and then a word find, word search, if, you know, and sermons is boring and that kind of thing. But keep your eyes on the screen so that you can fill in the the blanks there and get a little something afterwards. First and Second Peter this week. I hope that you are anxious like I am as we approach the end of our time, our 4 years going through the Bible, book by book, section by section, taking our time in some places, zipping through others. One of the things that I hope that we are able to do is at the end, and as I'm looking at our schedule, we're going to be finishing up right about the end of the year. So sometime after the first of the year, we're going to have a celebration together. And we're going to get together, we're going to have a good time and some food and fellowship. And we're also going to thank God for His Word. We're going to spend some time in prayer. I'm also going to challenge you to share something from the past 4 years. Excuse me a minute. From the past 4 years that God has really, it could be a moment that's like, wow, I never realized that was in the Bible. Or, I thought this was in the Bible, but as we went through it, I never found that. Or something that God taught you that was just really kind of life-changing, something that's really stuck with you. And it may be from the Old Testament, from the previous 3 years. It might be from this year as we walk through the New Testament. Or it could be from, the next 6 weeks, 7 weeks we have left before we get through the New Testament. Today we are in 1 and 2 Peter, and we are going to be talking about holiness. We're going to be talking about what that means and how we achieve holiness. And again, holiness not in the sense of perfection, because I don't think this side of heaven we ever achieve that, but holiness in the sense of becoming more and more like Christ. That things in our lives that are not of God begin to change or begin to fall away, and we embrace more of who God is in our lives. And so, this week, we, just by way of refresher, I hope all of you read 1 and 2 Peter this week, but this is what we saw in 1 and 2 Peter. First of all, we saw in the first part of 1 Peter 1, Peter talks about what we just sang about a couple songs ago, that Christ is our living hope and that we live in this living hope. And then in the second part of chapter 1 comes this whole dissertation by Peter about being holy. We're just going to look at, and it's a very long discourse that he gives, but we're just going to look at the first part of that today. But really, that whole section on into chapter 2 is part of that. Then Paul talked about Christ and the church and how the two are intertwined and how we have become these living stones that God is building His temple with. The next part, chapter 2, 11 through the first part of chapter 3, he talks about living in a godly way. Okay? And then he talks about godly suffering. This is something that is I think that it's vital to us. In fact, we talked about it a little bit in our life class this morning. And if you haven't come to life class, I really encourage you to come. It's a really good time of learning and growing and talking together. But Peter here talks about what it means to suffer for the sake of your faith, because of your righteousness, and because of your of living the way God wants you to. And then he goes into chapter 4 and talking about living for God. Then in chapter 5, he has some words for the elders, which are really the pastors of the churches that are meeting in homes, and the overseers and so forth that are leading the church as it is now. And that concludes the book of 1 Peter. And then in 2 Peter, we see Peter begins by talking about the calling of every Christian, the calling of God on our lives. And it's pretty awesome to think that God has called us to be his children. Second part of chapter 1, Peter talks about the importance of Scripture, the fact that it is not originated in the thoughts or mind of any human being, even though the human beings wrote it. It was the Holy Spirit who carried them along to write the things that they wrote. And, interestingly enough, Peter also talks about the Apostle Paul in this section, where he says that some of Paul's things are hard to understand, as and they pervert, and the enemies of God pervert that, as they do the other scriptures. And so he's calling Paul's writings Scripture, which is interesting. In 2 Peter 2, Peter warns about false teachers, and then in chapter 3 he talks about the day of the Lord when Christ comes back and everything is set right and we win.
Yay!
Okay, so that's what we read this week, but today what I want to focus on is that little section in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 13 to 16. We're going to talk about what it means to be holy and how, as human beings, we can become more holy. And you'll be comforted, I think, hopefully, to know that a lot of what God is, I believe, calling us to do in this passage is not so much clenching our fists and gritting our teeth and saying, I got to be more holy, as it is surrender to holiness. And we'll talk about that more here in just a bit. But as we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, if you have your Bible, turn there. And let's read the passage together. 1 Peter 1, 13 to 16. And if you wouldn't mind standing with me in honor of the reading of God's Word, we will read it together. Here we go. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for your word that says, be holy because I am holy. God, your desire is for us as human beings to relinquish our rights, to relinquish our desires and our wants, and embrace you. And so, Lord, I pray today as we look at how you want us to do that, that you would help us to be engaged, that you would help us to think, but Lord, even more than that, help us to take what we learned here this morning and truly apply it to our lives so that we might become holy as you are. Lord, we love you and we want to give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we're talking this morning about how we can not achieve holiness. Because as I say, I don't think holiness in the sense that we're perfect. I don't think that's attainable on this earth. I think we can come close. I think we should strive for that. But how do we become more holy? Well, I want you to look at what Peter says to us here in chapter 1, verse 13. Look at what he says. He says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed as coming." The first thing we need to do is, if we're going to be holy, is we need to engage the mind. Now, herein lies a problem for some folk, because engaging the mind means that we have to what? Think. And again, I'm not trying to be condescending or look down on anyone, but it seems to me in the society in which we live that the ability to think is a rather rare commodity. We have become a society that just says, "You tell me what to think and I'll think that. You tell me what to believe and I'll believe that." And even in the church, we have, you know, years have gone by where we have taught our kids, "This is what you need to know," but we have not encouraged them to think about those things for themselves, because for some reason we're afraid that if they start thinking about these things for themselves, they're going to ask us questions. And they're going to ask us questions that we don't know the answers to. And that's going to cause us to have to work and dig and think for ourselves. And so we just said, so we say to our kids, "Just accept this and be happy." Well, what happens? Our kids accept that to make us happy, and then they go to college. And what happens in college? Then they're challenged to think for real. And they begin to think, and we're not there to answer those tough questions. And so many times we see young people walking away from faith because the mind is not engaged. Here's something to think about. Do you realize that everything begins as a thought? Everything that you do begins as a thought. The only exceptions to this are the internal processes of your body that keep you alive. Isn't that interesting? That God wants you to think about everything that you do except the stuff that's going to keep you alive. He designed that so it just happens, right? Because, you know, if we had to think about it, most of us would die pretty quickly, wouldn't we? No. Things like breathing, our heartbeat, liver, kidney functions, digestion, all those things, they work automatically without us having to think about them. But guess what? When those things don't work properly, we think about them an awful lot, don't we? Because then there's pain, there's discomfort. But other than those internal processes, everything that we do begins as a thought. So what happens then is that when we sin, that began as a thought in our brain somewhere. A desire in our heart, as James said, we read last week, desire gives birth to, you know, that desire is sin, and then that sin gives birth to death. And so, what do we do with that? If it's true that every thought begins, every action begins as a thought, then we need to be controlled. Our minds need to be controlled. But our minds are not controlled. Listen, minds are not controlled by us. Or at least they shouldn't be. Because when we try to control our minds, we think of all kinds of wrong ways to do things. And what I believe that God wants us to do is He wants us to engage our mind. And look what He says here. To set our hope on the grace to be brought to us. Okay? So there's this idea that as we think about what's to come, as we think about the future, as we think about the blessings that are ours in the future, because as we read, or as we were talking about this morning in life class, we talked about the fact that you know, Jesus didn't come to this earth to find comfort. His ministry was not about comfort. His ministry wasn't about being taken care of. His ministry was about serving others. His ministry was about suffering. His ministry was about being hated and eventually going to the cross and eventually dying there. And he calls his followers, he says, look, if you want everything that is yours in Christ, then you must deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow after me. And we, as 21st century Christians, we need to allow our thinking to be controlled by that idea that, look, suffering's a part of the game. Suffering's part of being who we are in Christ. Because if Christ suffered, then we will too. If the world hated Jesus, guess what? They'll hate us too. So we need to let that hope that we have in Christ control our minds. But he also says something else, a couple other things that are very interesting. He says, be alert with minds that are alert. I don't know if you've ever seen someone who is, well, let me make this personal. When I first started out in ministry, I was a youth pastor, and as a youth minister, one of the things that there was a church in our community that one of the things that they did right around this time of year was called Fright Night. Okay? And the idea was to take these kids out into the woods and walk through the woods in the dark, and of course people would come out and, you know, it wasn't gory, it wasn't gross, but it was kind of shocking, you know, kind of like, wow, or these lights would come on you, and you know, anyway, it was a very interesting time. And for a youth pastor who tries to be all that in a bag of chips to his kids, Fright Night was not good for that image for me, because I am a scaredy cat, okay? I'm walking through that thing, and I was the picture of alert, right? I'm looking this way, and I'm looking this way, and I'm looking behind me, because they come up behind you and scare you too, and so I'm not looking around, I'm not going to get scared, I'm going to see it before it happens. Never happened. But I got pretty scared after we got through there. But the point of it is this, is that so many times we walk through life, spiritually, with our eyes covered. Or our ears covered. And we walk through life spiritually not really understanding the fact that God has called us with our minds to be alert, to think about the things that we're hearing, to think about the things that we're seeing, to think about the things that are told to us. This is why, this is one of the things that I want to encourage you, especially as you look at things like The Chosen, or as you look at things like preachers on TV, or whatever videos or podcasts you might listen to really be engaged with your mind thinking about the things that are being said. Because there are many times that we watch those things, and again, I'm not condemning any of those things, because honestly, I think a lot of those things are very good. But I think that when we get into a mindset where we're just putting it on cruise control and just saying, you know, letting whatever people want to say to us come into our lives, that's dangerous. I have a friend who went to a college, and they're talking now about all of these things about the gay and lesbian agenda being, I mean, they're almost saying that it's Christian. And I'm shaking my head, and I'm like, where's your head? But this is what Peter warns us about, that if we're going to be holy, we have to engage our minds, and not only be alert, but be sober. Okay, this means that we have to be in control. That we, you know, Paul talks about taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. This is that idea. It means that we must not allow anything else but the Holy Spirit of God to control how we think about the things around us. And again, being human beings, we have free will, we think, we engage with it, or I hope we do, and then that as we speak and as we act, all those things that come out of our mouth and out of our lives are going to be filtered through the God of the Bible. through the Holy Spirit. And so we have to engage our mind. That's the first thing we have to do. But secondly, not only do we have to think about it, because we can sit there and think about it all the live long day and it never changes anything. Right? So not only do we have to engage the mind, we have to engage the body as well. Look at what he says in verse 14. As obedient children, don't conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. So, two things here. First of all, is obedience. We're called to be obedient children. Now, in order to obey, we have to know what the rules are, right? I remember when I first started watching hockey, and when my kids started watching hockey with me, that there was always all kinds of questions about, well, why did they blow the whistle there? Well, why was that a penalty? And I sat down and I told them, well, that's because this guy took his stick and he hit him in the face. That's a penalty. Oh. Or some of the lesser things like you can't, the offensive team can't go into the zone with the puck. That's offside. Oh. And now, after a couple of years, 3-4 years of this, now as we watch hockey, my son gets up in arms and he says, that was interference! And I'm very proud. But here's the thing, that we, as it relates to us as followers of Jesus, we have to know what the truth is. If we're going to obey the truth, we have to know what it is. It means that we have to read God's Word. But not only do we have to read it, we have to study it. And then I would also encourage you to memorize it, as David said in the Psalms over and over and over again, to meditate on it. And again, that's engaging the mind and thinking about the things that we're reading and studying and learning. But then taking what we know and then acting on it. Not only must we know the truth, but we must do the truth. I want to say this very carefully because I want it to make sense, but I also feel like I just need to say that obedience is something that is active. It's not passive. It's not passive. It's something that we do intentionally, not by accident. Obedience is something that's done with wisdom and understanding and not foolishness. So we need to walk in the truth. We need to obey. We need to engage our bodies and actually obey. But not only does Peter talk about obedience, he also talks about nonconformity. Listen, we live in a society that wants you to conform. And anyone who doesn't conform is labeled what? Intolerant. If you don't conform to the way the world thinks, you are an intolerant bigot, an intolerant homophobe, or an intolerant whatever, fill in the blank. This whole world that we live in desires very much to conform us, to squeeze us into a certain mold. I heard just the other day that this idea was done something. A young lady had gone to school, and this is only about 15 years ago. That in school, and she went to school, and there was a freshman seminar, I guess, of some kind. But what they did basically in this seminar was they brought out LGBTQ people, telling them over and over and over again that they had to not only accept their lifestyle, but they had to be promoting that lifestyle, otherwise they were intolerant and they would have target on their back. Friends, this is the world that we live in, and God says, do not conform. Everybody wants you to do this or that or the other thing. Do not conform. They want you to throw away the scriptures and engage in all kinds of wrong behavior. Do not conform. Engage your body by saying no. Sometimes it's as simple as that. A simple two-letter word that just says, I am not going to be about that. Way back when I was a kid, and Ronald Reagan was in office, and one of Nancy Reagan's big things that she was doing as the first lady was this campaign against drugs, saying, just say no. Right? And she took a lot of flack for it. But there's some truth in that. Right? That when you stand up, and especially when it comes to sin, right, in our lives, when you stand up and tell the devil, no, I'm not going to do that. What did we read last week in James? It says, when we resist the devil, he is going to flee. He has to flee. He has to run away. Why? Because the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of a living God that is inside of us forces him out. So when you stand up and you say, no, I will not do that. Look, I'm not saying you won't suffer for saying no. I'm not saying that there won't be repercussions for saying no. But whatever it is that God wants you to do, and you stand up and you say to the world, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be obedient to Jesus, and you are going to try to make me conform to your idea of what it means to follow Jesus. But I know what the Scripture says, and what you tell me, I am saying no to, and I'm saying yes to God. That is engaging our body and doing, being obedient to the things that God has called us to do. Then in verses 15 and 16, we're called to engage the soul. Look at what it says here. Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Here's the first thing that I want to mention. First of all, God has called us. Isn't that great? Isn't that an awesome truth that we can hold on to? God has called us to be his children. To follow Jesus. We have been chosen by God. That, my friends, is exciting. God has called us to be who he wants us to be. But as ones who have been called by God, we must be holy because God is holy. We must become all that God wants us to be. We must become perfect. And again, I want to say that perfection is not something we attain in this life, but it is the ultimate goal that we are striving for. And yes, we're going to fail. And yes, we're going to feel less than holy. And yes, we're going to feel like we keep messing up again and again and again and again. But here is the third point under this point, is this, that God must be the one to do it through us. Friends, do you understand that holiness is never something that you attain? It is something that God produces in you. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, you're the branches, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Right? There's no life in the branch by itself. You cut the branch off the vine and set it on the ground and say, okay, now produce fruit. That ain't going to happen. What's going to happen to the branch? It's going to shrivel up and it's going to die. But when we are connected to the vine and the Holy Spirit is flowing through us, then that fruit of becoming closer and closer to the holiness that God wants us to have begins to come out. We begin to see it more and more. We cannot be perfect in this life. Okay, can we all agree on that?
Yeah.
Thank you. But we also have the Holy Spirit available to us. Now here's the problem. Here's where we get into issue. Is that so often that Holy Spirit gets regulated to that weird uncle in our family that no one wants to talk about. The Holy Spirit is somehow relegated to a second class of the Trinity. And I want to tell you right now that that's blasphemy. It is. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It means that the Father is just as important as the Son, and the Spirit is just as important as the other two. And we have to remember that. And we have to acknowledge that. And we have to realize that anything that we do spiritually is because of the Holy Spirit. We have to have the Holy Spirit's filling in us daily. Now listen, when we come to faith, when we come to understand who Jesus is and we give Him our life, the Holy Spirit comes, He takes up residence inside of us. But we, as human beings, sometimes have the ability to squelch or quench the Holy Spirit, right? We kind of push Him aside and it's like, okay, you know, I know you want me to do this, but I really don't want to do that right now. I want to do this. So you just be quiet for a minute. And you know what happens? The Holy Spirit will listen to us. He'll be quiet. And what happens is, we do that too much and He stops. I mean, He's still speaking to us, but we can't hear it. We're like the kid whose parents are trying to tell him what to do, and he's like, la 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 la, I can't hear you. That's what we look like to the Holy Spirit. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us into the way that we should live. And I'm not saying that it becomes the, okay, I'm letting go and letting God do everything for me. Okay, so whatever I'm supposed to speak next, God, you just speak it through me. Go ahead. Whatever. You know, it's not that. But if you follow the Lord for any length of time, you've had those moments where you're at a restaurant or you're driving down the road or whatever, and the Holy Spirit says, you know, you see something and the Holy Spirit says, do what you can to minister to that person. Friends, we need to learn to allow, we need to learn to ask for the Holy Spirit's filling daily. When I talk about filling, I'm talking about a reconnection to Him. Allowing Him to say what needs to be said in our lives so that we become who God wants us to be. Amen. And so as a challenge this morning, I want to just give you this challenge. This is it. Allow God's Holy Spirit to fill you. Here's the hard part of that. Let's say you had a cabin out in the woods, and you told me, Pastor, I want you to come and I want you to spend a week out in my cabin and just enjoy it just relax and go for hikes and do whatever it is you want to do, fishing, whatever you want to do. And you bring me into the cabin before I come, and you're showing me around, and you say, okay, here's the fireplace. And I'm like, wow, that's a really nice fireplace. And they're like, yeah, it really is. And here's how you turn on everything. I'm like, wow, that's really awesome. Thank you for allowing me to use it. And then you come over to this part of the living room and say, now, this is my comfy chair. This is my chair. But you can sit in that chair whenever you want. You can have this chair and you can enjoy that chair. I'm like, thank you very much. And then you might say, here, this is the universal remote. No kidding. Yeah, that's awesome. You know, and you show it to me. And we go to the kitchen and you show me the fridge. You say, everything in the fridge you can have. And here's my CD collection. You can listen to whatever you see. Anyway, here's the music. You can listen to whatever you want to. You know, and here's all this. And here's the bedroom. You can come in here. You can lay down. You can sleep the night away here. And as we come out, I see another room. And then I ask you, what's in that room? And you go, you can't go in that. That's my room. Have you given me your whole house? Or just part of it? Friends, too often We invite the Spirit into our life. We want to give Him this room and that room. We want to give Him that, this and that. But we have this room, this closet, that we keep the things that we just don't want to let go of, and we hide them in there. And we need to let go. We cannot do the commands of this scripture, being holy as God is holy. We cannot do that without the Holy Spirit. The only way we can do it is with Him. And if we ask Him, if we come to Him and we say, we ask God, God, I know that I need Your Spirit to do what You want me to do today. I know that I need the Holy Spirit at work in my life, in my mind, and in my body to become holy, holier today than I was yesterday. And so, Lord, I admit that, and I ask You to bring Your Spirit fresh and alive and new in my life right now, today. And I want to give Him access to every area of my life. Now listen, when you do that, there are going to be some things that God's going to, the Holy Spirit's going to come in and say, hey, this here, this needs to go. And this needs to go. You can keep this thing over here, but we need to change some things about it first. Otherwise, that's going to need to go. There's this part of your life here that the things that you're looking at on your phone. We need to adjust that, or maybe figure out how to delete that crud out of your phone. And then this. Holy Spirit's going to start doing that to you, and it's going to be uncomfortable, and it's going to hurt. Okay? Just being honest with you right now. It's going to hurt. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to let some of those things go. But friends, if we want to have the kind of life that Peter talks about here that is holy to God, then we have to listen to what His Spirit says to us. This morning, if you are willing to ask the Holy Spirit, ask God to allow His Holy Spirit to come in and fill you again. And if you want to, make a commitment, I have this prayer that I have on a little 3x5 card that I keep on my dresser. And I, every time I see it, which is just about every day, I pray that prayer. Because I need that prayer. And I need the Holy Spirit to come into my life. I need myself to just let go, and I need to let the Holy Spirit come and fill every portion of my life so that I treat my wife better, so that I treat my kids better, so that I treat you better. And that is what I'm asking you to do. And if you are willing to do that this morning and to every day, say that prayer. I'm going to ask you to come forward to the altar this morning. Now, we don't normally do this. This is going to be kind of weird for some of you. But that's fine. But I'm going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to ask you to kneel and pray. God, I recognize my need of the Holy Spirit so that I can be holy. I need You to fill me because I can't fill myself. So please help me to be holy through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit filling my life daily. Today, and then again tomorrow, and then again on Tuesday, and so on and so on. If you're willing to do that today, I'm going to ask you to come. I'm going to ask the praise band to come up, and then we're going to sing a song. But as they sing, if you need to do some business with the Lord, the altar is open. Let's close in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, there is nothing more important than for us to be obedient to Your Word. And Lord, I pray that as we worship You and as we seek the Spirit to take control of us, to fill us, Lord, that there would be nothing held back. And that we would begin to be alert in our thinking and sober in our thinking, that we would focus on the hope that is ours in Christ, that we would be obedient to what You're asking us to do. And Lord, we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus, who died for us and who gave Himself for us. Amen.